actually disappearing. Fellows was 86. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and it's certainly great to be back with you again here on this Thursday edition of the program. We've got an interesting study or topic today that we're going to be looking at. And let me start it off by saying this, that too many teenage girls are faking it on Facebook. Think about that. They're faking it out on Facebook. They're not being real. They're not really expressing the true feelings. They're not really showing their true emotions. We're finding out from a brand new research, Pew Research report, that many of them are actually faking it out on Facebook. According to a Pew Research report, it says that 73% of 12 to 17-year-old girls have at least one social networking profile. This means that the pressure is on, the pressure that says, quote, am I pretty enough? Am I popular enough? Am I posting enough? Many girls invest hours every week trying to create exciting status updates, editing pictures to remove all the flaws, and even exaggerating their social activities just because they want to appear more important than they actually feel. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about this propensity that we find today in Facebook accounts and in other ways as well, for people to not be satisfied with who they are and therefore feel the pressure to go ahead and fake it with other people. My guest on the program today will be Lynn Cowell. Lynn is a wife, a mother, a speaker, and an author. And we're going to be talking about Lynn's latest book called His Revolutionary Love. And in His Revolutionary Love, Lynn shows teen girls how a relationship with Jesus can meet their deepest desire, from the need for identity and significance to being seen as someone who is as beautiful. Lynn shares personal stories that don't gloss over her frustrations and failings, as well as stories from teens who are experiencing this type of pressure, pressures of difficulties in life and confusion that so many young people and young women face in this particular existence. This book shows teen girls how Jesus' unchanging love changes absolutely everything. When I was thinking about this book, I was thinking about the statement in the Old Testament, I think it's in Isaiah, that speaks about Christ and his everlasting love, that Christ has set his love upon us as his people, and that love is a love that never ends. And so without any further ado, let me go ahead and welcome Lynn Cowell onto the program. I mentioned that she was a wife and a mother, but she's also a youth worker. And when I say mother, she's a mother of three teenagers. And so Lynn interacts with teens on a daily basis. She is part of what's called the Proverbs 31 Ministry. And as part of that, she speaks. She's on a speaking team, and she also helps teens through one-on-one mentoring. She leads small groups, and she also teaches at conferences as well. Lynn, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lynn, interesting book and an interesting way to look at it, especially when we talk about the idea of teen girls and, you know, this idea that I just said in the introduction about faking it a little bit on Facebook. Why do you feel that girls try so hard to be someone that they're not? Why not just put the same amount of effort into being who they really are?
Well, to be yourself, you need to like yourself. And lots of teen girls don't. They get caught up in the comparison game on Facebook or watching shows like America's Top Model. And there's just no way to compete, especially when the information that they're taking in is not even real. In order to be pretty, they do everything they possibly can on Facebook, such as editing techniques on their pictures. My daughter recently had her Facebook page showing a picture of a girl I didn't recognize, and so I asked her who it was, and she said it was a girl on her softball team. Mm. And I didn't even recognize this girl that I literally spend hours with each week on my daughter's travel team. You see, true confidence to just be herself, when a girl knows that, is when she knows that she's deeply loved by Jesus. Mm. When he gets that, he is... loves her exactly the way that she needs to be loved.
Mm. I like to say that there is a tremendous amount of identity theft that is taking place today, and that identity theft is that we're allowing our true identity to be stolen by something that we want to project to other people, but is really a false picture, a caricature of something else, not really who we are. Do you see that over and over again in young girls?
Definitely. You know, they determine who they think the popular or the pretty girl is, and then they will change whatever it takes to be like her, whether it's I talk like her, I dress like her. It's not uncommon at all for middle school girls to begin dyeing their hair, you know, to be a specific color, whatever it takes to be, you know, like that girl that she deems is beautiful or more valuable than herself.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that the message is in this book that we should be finding our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, that being a child of his and then being who he wants us to be, who he's made us to be, the portion in life that he's given to us, that we should be content with that and resting in that and not trying to create ourselves in some other person's image.
Well, so many girls don't know what the word says about who they are. They don't know that as their creator, that he says that they are beautiful. And that's exactly what they need to know deep in their hearts. They've never heard verses like Song of Solomon 4:7 that says, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there's no blemish in you."
Mm.
Or Psalms 45:11 says that the king is enthralled by your beauty. And so each week on my website, which is lynncowell.com, I help women learn this truth for themselves, and then I teach them how, in turn, to communicate this truth to girls.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, when it's saying something like that, that there is no flaw in us whatsoever, or in the teen girls that you're specifically speaking to, it's talking about that our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, though, right? I mean, with his impeccable righteousness having been imputed to us by faith, that we are seen by God in God's sight as being pure because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And I think that there's also that he sees who he created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he sees in us, he sees the potential of when we realize who we are in him, the woman that we, you know, become.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're talking about this, some people might automatically assume that we're just talking about people that are outside of the church, that we're just sitting in our pew and pointing fingers out the window at these types of things that are taking place in the world and saying, you know, look at how bad this is out in the world. But you're speaking to not only unchurched, but churched people as well, people that have grown up in the church.
Exactly. Unfortunately, there's little difference between girls who are churched or girls who come from Christian families and those who do not. I think that in some ways this is where we as Christian followers are really dropping the ball when it comes to the next generation, because the place where girls are going to learn the truth about who they are is from their mothers and from women in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And those women, us, we need to be willing to pour the truth of how Jesus sees them into the girls.
Mm.
And this can be done informally through day-to-day conversations, or it can be done formally in settings like small groups. And I know that some women are really intimidated when it comes to working with teens. I know that I was. 10 years ago when I started working with teens, my kids were only 10, 8, and 6, and I had no idea what I was doing. And so for that reason, I created a free leadership guide for my book, His Revolutionary Love, and it takes all of the mystery out of how to communicate this truth and making it simple. Mm. And that leadership guide is free on my website.
Well, that's great. And I also had been involved in youth work many, many years ago, and very quickly realized because of the unhealthy expectations of those who had put us in youth work, the church's attitude in general, and I'm not talking bad about the specific church that I was going to, it was that this was a general attitude in evangelical Christianity that somehow we would get the young person in the meeting and we would bring in more spiritual young people to hang out with them, and then somehow by osmosis they would turn into Joe and Jane Christian, and the parents would be, you know, happy with us, and everything would be wonderful. And they were willing to pay for any sort of events or whatever we wanted to do to make that happen. And I very quickly realized that the God-ordained methodology to change in people's life is the Scripture, is knowing the Word of God, applying the Word of God to our life. And unless they were really willing to do that, which even some of the parents fought against us doing that, they said, well, they go to Christian schools, you know, they don't need another Bible lesson. I just want them to have fun together, this type of thing. And unless they were willing to do that, there was nothing I could really do. And in an hour on a Wednesday night, I could not combat all of the other things that were taking place during the week. Have you expressed that or felt that same type of frustration?
Well, I once heard it said that even the best youth pastor makes a bad parent. In other words, that truly the responsibility of teaching the truth of God's word falls to us as parents. And so, again, you know, that's my heartbeat, is to really pour into moms so that they are the ones who in turn pour into the daughters. Because when a girl has a bad day at school and she comes home from school, the pastor's not there, the youth worker's not there, the last conference speaker's not there, the mom is there. Mm-hmm. And so she needs to know the truth for herself. And so when that time comes that her daughter needs to hear it, then the mom can then pour that truth directly into her daughter.
Yeah, I agree with you. That is certainly a missing element. The idea that's spoken about, I believe it's in Titus, but the older women teaching the younger women, certainly that should be taking place in the church, but also right in the home, like you're saying. One of the guests that I've had on the program is Jay Yontz. In fact, Shepherd Press, mentioning Jay Yontz, I think Shepherd Press is having their yard sale today, which you can buy a number of books out there at Shepherd Press for like $1.99 or something. So I just mentioned that in passing. But Jay Yontz was with me on the program, and he wrote a book called Everyday Talk, and it was talking freely and naturally with your children about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And talking about going throughout the day, not in a structured Bible study per se, although that's fine to have those as well, but this was in just imparting our faith very naturally to our children, letting them know that this is important to us and this is how our life is structured, and the high priority that we have upon Christ in our life, all of these very important things. It really pains me to hear you say that there is little difference between those that are in the church and outside of the church. And you said that, you know, really we failed on doing our job. Boy, I guess so. If we really have changed from being in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and we say that there is little difference that we can see in the person's life, that is quite a testimony on the pitiful job we must be doing on teaching the Word of God to our young people. Do you agree?
I do, but I do also believe that at the ages that we're talking about in teen girls, that, you know, every child has a free will. And, yes, it is our responsibility to pour into them the truth, but then at that point they also need to begin to make their own choices about which way that they're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I totally agree, and I agree that you know, that this has to be a relationship between them and God. It can't be their parents' religion or their parents' relationship or the preacher's relationship with God. It must be their personal relationship with God. But that's one of the points that I guess we should be stressing with them as part of the teaching, right?
Exactly.
That they are ultimately responsible before Almighty God. And that adds a level of seriousness to the discussion, I would think, in talking to them. In thinking about your book here, I was thinking that some things really never change when it comes to teen girls. This idea of popularity or popularity contest, although it's kind of been enhanced and made easier by our instant communication society, texting and email and Facebook and some FaceTime we now do. I've got an iPhone 4, and so I do FaceTime with family members and these types of things, Skype, all sorts of tools that are out there. But it really is the same problem, right, or the same issue. It's just now that we have some technological help in bringing this to pass.
That's true. You know, a girl really should only let one or two friends into the close places of her heart and not have that desire to be a part of a whole entire a crowd. Now, and let me explain by that. The problem with being a part of a popular group is that in order to be a part of that group, she has to let something go.
Mm-hmm.
It might be her faith. It might be her purity. It might be the unique parts of her personality that make her an exciting individual. But when a girl chooses instead to only let one or two persons into the close places of her heart, she can choose girls who are similar to her in her faith and in her values, and she can choose girls who she can really trust.
Good point. They become like politicians, you know. They're trying to they have a different message for the different audiences that they're speaking to. And so they try to become all things to all men, and that does not work well at all. This morning, I was on Facebook. In fact, I put out on Facebook about this interview that we're doing right now. And when I was there, I just noticed that some of the folks that follow and that I follow on there as well, or friends on Facebook, I'm just looking and seeing, you know, like 300 friends or something for young people that they've gathered to themselves. In fact, it almost seems like some sort of a race just to friend people. And I find this to be really bizarre. I was actually with somebody, he wasn't a teenager, but I was with somebody and I was walking out of a building together with him, and somebody was coming into the building at the same time. And I knew the person, so I started to talk with the person, and this other person jumped in and said, "Hey, I'm your friend on Facebook." And so he had to tell the person that he was the friend. They didn't know each other, and he had to actually say to the person, "Hey, I'm your friend." And I thought, this is a bizarre time that we live, that you are considered to be a friend when the person really doesn't even know you. Mm-hmm. So these types of struggles, you're seeing them on a regular basis with young people. What does this mean? What is this doing to them?
Well, again, I think that number over there in the left-hand column, number of friends, it's a status. You know, how many friends can you gather? How many friends, quote-unquote, know you? And, you know, the more that know you, the more popular that you are. You know, it's part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Popularity is king, right? I mean, if you have that, boy, it's a commodity that is better than money in that environment. You know, I mean, it's a means of, just like you say, a status symbol that's there for them. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with author Lynn Cowell about her book, and I'm going to give you some information and a website that you can go to in order to get a copy of this book. But before I give you that information, let me just tell you what I would do with this, and I would go ahead and get a copy in order to give to a young person in your life, or maybe even better, to get a copy to give to the parents of a young person that you know. Maybe you're in a church and the Lord has laid upon your heart specifically just some young girls in the congregation that seem to be just buying into this popular culture of ours as we're describing these things about Facebook and that. And by the way, Facebook isn't evil in and of itself. Like I just said, I'm using it. But it's how we use it that makes all the difference. But maybe you've noticed that somebody is just buying into this whole culture, and you've been looking and praying for a way that you could reach out and help out to stop this slide that's taking place. Well, I think Lynn's book would be a great resource to do that. You also, as you just mentioned a moment ago, there is a free leadership guide available as well. Let me tell you, you can go out to her website. It's www.lynncowell. Let me spell that for you. Lynn is L-Y-N-N. And then her last name is Cowell. I think that's spelled just like Simon Cowell, since we're talking about teens, that'll work, which is C-O-W-L-E-L-L. And you can go to lynncowell.com, and it'll take you out there. The title of her book is called His Revolutionary Love. And it's the idea that about Jesus and his radical pursuit of you, that he is setting his love upon his people and drawing them unto himself. And the love of Christ, it supersedes every other type of love that we desire in this world. Those things are really just sketches, just faint shadows of the fullness of love that we find in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lynn, I wanted to ask you about this not changing with young girls, but what do you say to a girl that is working so hard to make sure that she is part of this popular crowd? What would you say to her specifically?
Well, again, it all comes down to where is she finding her value, and to remember that the people that she's surrounding herself with now, these people will be in her life for a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what is she willing to sacrifice during this short period of time in order to have, you know, the popularity with them?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that she really needs to be focusing on is becoming the type of girl that God has called her to be and finding her value and identity in Christ. And again, that's where we come in, because she's not going to be able to do that on her own. She's going to need someone to come alongside her, a woman in the church or her mom, and point her in the right direction of what God's Word says specifically about who she is.
Mm. I want to make sure people get that, and I think the second line that I didn't read in the introduction that I put on the blog says this, that every girl desires to be wanted, but this yearning for attention, affirmation, and approval can lead to young women to hold back nothing. Mm-hmm. On social media, the new trend is that exposing everything seems to be the answer. And yet what teenage girls need to know is that the best way to feel important is to keep parts of her heart a secret. And so I want parents to know this, and even the possibly some of the young girls that may be listening, that this is the trend. If you go with what you know, if you go with what you are showing an interest in, i.e. this idea of popularity is everything, then the next step in this is just to continue to expose more and more and more of yourself until there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to say there is a better way. You know, Lynn, this message is strangely similar to a message that I read in Paul David Tripp's book about life in the middle, about people that are going through midlife crisis. And he points out in the book that one of the reasons that they go through midlife crisis, they have a crisis point in their life, is that their identity has been in something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That possibly for young men, or for men now in middle age, that their identity may have been in their mobility or in their seemingly invincibility. They could play sports from sun up to sundown. They always kind of prided themselves on being, you know, pretty much the best guy out there on the court. This was their identity. They built it. Now they're 50-something. And suddenly, they don't have that mobility. Suddenly, nobody picks them to be on a starting team. And all of a sudden, the identity is changed. And so they go through a crisis. That's just one area that we could fill that with, 100 other examples. But it happens with middle-aged people. It happens with teens. It happens with everyone. If we don't have the identity right, finding our identity in Christ and in his revolutionary love for us, then we are going to be tempted to go after something else. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, 100 million examples. It's just different with teen girls, whether it's boys or drugs or sex or sports or, you know, success in school, getting into that college that their parents are hoping they'll get into, you know, whatever it is that fills that love gap. But it doesn't matter what it is that you know, we or they turn to, at some point those things will always let you down. Mm-hmm. Because we were created with this love gap, but we were created with it only to be completely filled by unconditional, perfect love. And there's only one who can deliver on that kind of need, and that's Jesus Christ. And so the earlier that we can come alongside girls and teach them that truth, the more that we can have the opportunity to possibly prevent the types of pain that can happen down the road and the types of pain that, you know, we have seen in our own lives and in those around us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Lynn, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, I want to work through that a little bit more with you, especially about preventing this in the life of young people. Obviously, that is so important. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with author Lynn Cowell about her book, His Revolutionary Love. And again, if you want to find out more about Lynn, she's also a speaker. Maybe you're listening today and say, boy, I'd love to have her come and speak. She's right down the road here in Charlotte, North Carolina, so she'd be great to have in the Greenville area. I'll give you that website when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Discover peace for the things that are rocking your world. Family needs, church problems, the world situation, health concerns, death, divorce, or separation. Are these flooding turmoil into your life? Have you quit believing that peace is possible in troubling times? Don't quit. Tune in to Peace Talk here on Christian Talk 660 each Monday afternoon at 12:30. You can find hope, get help, and discover peace.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
In the last decade, more than 400,000 people died on America's roadways. That's one person every 13 minutes. Roadway deaths strike the young or old at any time of the year, at any hour of the day or night. And it doesn't matter whether you drive a car on a highway, ride a motorcycle or bicycle on a country road, or simply take a walk near traffic. Everyone is at risk. Since 1969, members of the American Traffic Safety Services Association have worked diligently to make our nation's roadways safer by providing the majority of roadway safety features, including bright signs and pavement markings, guardrails, and crash cushions. These are just some of the roadway devices that save thousands of lives each day. Since most of our roadways were built in the 1950s, there's so much more work that needs to be done to reach the ultimate goal of zero deaths. Safer roads save lives. To learn how you can get involved, visit ATSSA.com. A public service message from the American Traffic Safety Services Association.
Give me back the life I owe that is.
love that song. That was "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go," and that one specifically was done by iGrace. That's Indelible Grace, and they just do an excellent job on that. I was reading the lyrics of this morning. "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow may richer, fuller be." What words! I mean, tremendous. I was reading, after reading the words to this hymn, I was reading some of the background story. A person by the name of George Matherson wrote this song, and he wrote it on a night that he was actually left home alone. All of the rest of the family had gone to his sister's wedding, his sister's marriage. And he was left home alone, and while he was there, he began to think about just a very anguishing event that took place in his life. That event was that he was engaged to be married himself, and had been engaged. The wedding was being planned, and things were going along just wonderfully. He was quite in love with his fiance. Well, while he was making these plans, he was actually studying at the same time as a ministerial student. And he was studying, and through studying, he actually, I guess, had done so in poor light or whatever. He was actually going blind. And when his fiance found out that he was going blind and there was nothing that the doctors were able to do for him, she told him that she could not go through life with a blind man. And she walked away. And so he went on to try to make it in his studies. He actually wrote a couple of books. I think one book was called The Growth of the Spirit of Christianity. And some of the work that he did was critiqued by others who didn't know that he was blind. And they had critiqued him quite harshly and said that he did not do things that other students had done in the preparing for the work and these types of things. And because of that, again, he was thrown into the depths of despair. He had been rejected by his fiance. Now he has been rejected as a scholar. And here he was now sitting there. He eventually became a pastor of a church, and he preached every week to 1,500 people a week. And this particular night, though, he was sitting there while everybody else was gone, and he started to reflect upon this heartbreak in his life, his fiance's refusal to go through life with a blind man and all of these things. And he said that he wrote this hymn in 5 minutes as he was reviewing his life, and he just started to reflect upon that greater love that is found, of course, in the love of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you could hear this in these, in the words that he puts down here, the way that he is finding his love and his purpose. Specifically, there's a line in here that speaks about a rainbow. You know, it says this, the third verse, "O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be." And so he's looking at the promises of God. That's what the rainbow pictures to us. He's not allowing himself to just be cast down into the depths of despair because of the rejection here in this life. But rather than doing that, he's focusing his attention upon the promises of God and knows that those promises can never fail. I actually preached on that this past Lord's Day about the Lord not only giving us his promise, making his promise to us out of Hebrews chapter 6, but then backing up the promise with an oath, saying that he was swearing by himself, God taking the witness stand, saying, "I swear by myself, because I can swear by nothing higher than myself, that I will bring these promises to pass." What a glorious, glorious gospel. What a glorious God. What a glorious message we have for a hurting world. Let me tell you about, very quickly before we go back to our interview today, about a program that we're going to do next Tuesday. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Robert Peterson. He's a professor of systematic theology at Covenant Theology, Theological Seminary in St. Louis. And he's the author and editor of numerous books. But we'll be speaking with him about the subject of the deity of Christ. certainly an important study. It's actually, Dr. Peterson is the editor of this book. There's many that have participated in it, such as Steve Nichols and Andreas Kostenberger and others. And so just a great book on the subject of the deity of Christ. That will be our subject of conversation on Tuesday's broadcast next week. Let's go back to our broadcast today, or our topic today, I should say. And the topic that we're talking about today is His revolutionary love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing that around the subject of a book that's the same title of a book that has just been produced by Lynn Cowell. And Lynn, I give you her website, www.lynncowell.com. You can go there to find out more about this book. She also blogs some really interesting articles out there that go along with these topics that we've been talking about today. And also, she is a speaker. And as I mentioned, she's located right down in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's only 90 miles or something from here. And so, you know, Lynn, if you're looking for a speaker, maybe for a youth evening, or maybe to come in and speak to parents in your church about dealing with youth in the church, Lynn would be an excellent choice for that study. Lynn, just before the break, we had talked about a couple more things concerning the girls there, but I wanted to ask you about this. You know, during this period of time, so many girls struggle with whether or not they have a boyfriend. Not only is it, you know, their popularity on Facebook or other social media outlets, but, you know, whether or not they're actually in a relationship, if they can say to others that they have a boyfriend or not. How does your book help the girl to see her value being diminished by whether or not she has a boyfriend?
Well, the thing your girl needs to know is if a guy doesn't like her, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with her. We are living in a society that says guy plus girl equals value. And so, as you said, and even as the song you were reading, so often we find the value in other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What your girl needs to understand in her teen years and sometimes beyond that is that guys have one thing on their mind during that time period, and it isn't sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so often a boy may not like her because they're different. They're different in their maturity levels or in their likes and dislikes. So it can help to ask your girl some questions about this boy that she has this crush on. Mm-hmm. What do you have in common? What are his values? What type of girl does he like? And by asking some of these questions, you might be able to help your girl to see that possibly the reasons that he doesn't like her really doesn't have anything to do with her, but has a whole lot more to do with him.
Mm. Well, you brought up that subject of something other than sports that he was interested in. Let me just mention this, that statistics show that 46% of high school students have sexual intercourse, and each year approximately 19 million new STD infections occur. Almost half of them are among youth ages 15 to 24 years of age, and that's some statistics from www.sadd.org, statistics from them. What's the best way, Lynn, that a girl can guard herself from becoming another one of these statistics?
Well, I really believe that a girl's biggest mission is to guard her heart. And again, that is one reason that Facebook can be so dangerous, because when a girl is constantly adding status updates and pictures, they're literally exposing every part of themselves for everyone to see. And when a girl is this vulnerable with her heart, then it's just a matter of time before she exposes the other parts of her as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we teach her to hold a little bit back, it's the best way to protect her heart. And I sure wish that somebody, you know, had told this to me when I was a young girl. Our girls need to know that emotional intimacy can really be just as dangerous as physical intimacy, because when we expose all of our heart to one who's not committed to spending the rest of their lives with us,
mm-hmm.
it just leaves us. It kind of reminds me of being caught like in a snowball fight without gloves.
Mm.
Our girls can be exposed, and then when down the road they're work out, then, you know, more of them is out there than they don't want to be, and they can end up really wounded and hurt.
Good point. We do see this just unburying of the soul that takes place out on Facebook, where, you know, just every single element of the life is revealed in the Facebook account. And, you know, it's disturbing. We watch it because, you know, we friended people, and part of this whole process, one of the worst things you can do apparently is defriend somebody out there. But we watch this, but it's almost like watching a car wreck. It's not something pleasant to watch. You see this self-destructive behavior taking place, and you just see that they are going down the wrong path and exposing themselves this way. And you just know that they're going to be hurt here by this. I would encourage, if there's any of the young girls listening, and I've neglected to give the telephone number here, I need to do that. So let me do that first, and then let me give you a little test that you can give yourself as you're listening to the broadcast here today. First of all, the ways that you can get in touch with us. If you want to ask Lynn a question, maybe just about teens in general, if you want to ask about a specific teen that in your life, or if you're a teenager yourself, you want to call the radio broadcast, that's fine. Certainly welcome to do so. We've got a toll-free number that's set up for you. It's good nationwide. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. The 660 equates for the call letters of the station on the AM dial, 660 AM. And then the last part, 9535, equates to the call letters of the WLFJ. And so it's just very simply 1-888 for a toll-free number, and then 660-9535. And so I'll be happy to take your question or comment. Also, if you're not able to call for one reason or another, shoot me an email, and I'll get your question in that way. Believe me, if you want to do it anonymously, sometimes when we have these types of broadcasts, people would like to ask something about their daughter, but they don't want anybody to know that they actually called. That's fine. I won't mention the name on the air unless you specifically say it's okay to do so. And so you can do it that way. It's not a problem. My email address is very simply just Kevin, that's K-E-V-I-N, at knowingthetruth.org. I'll be happy to get that in for you. I was going to give you a tip here, especially if you're a teenager, but let me, I do this for myself, just a self-evaluation. I think that this is a good thing about Facebook. You can go to Facebook now, and we've never had the ability to do this. I don't know that we have, for except in our lifetime. But you can go now, and you can click on your profile and look at all the posts that you have put in. I don't know how many it keeps there, if it's forever since the inception of your Facebook account or how long it goes back. But click on that and then just review the things that you have been writing out there about yourself. See what it says there about these things, about yourself. You know, what are you portraying? What is number one? What's the priority? If you only had that to work with, some people don't like that saying, you know, if you were convicted of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? But I think when we think about that associated with Facebook, it would be a good thing. A lot of times when they convict you of something, they take your computer and they look at what you've been doing on your computer. Well, if you took your computer and looked at what you were doing on Facebook, look at your posts. What are you saying about yourself? If I had nothing else to go by, what would I conclude from that Facebook post is a priority in your life? Is it friends? Is it money? Is it popularity? Is it fame? What are you looking for here? What would I conclude? I think this would be a really good test to see what you're saying about yourself, and then to take that and do what you need to do with it on taking it back to the Word of God and before Almighty God, who you profess, and then ask Him to help you to look at this in a different light. Do you agree, Lynn? Would that be a good test for people to go through?
Absolutely. I'm sure that there is probably a pattern there that may not have been obvious before, but as you look at them all lined up in a page, I bet it would become very apparent the things that are most important to you and maybe the things that you should or shouldn't be saying.
Mm. I find in doing this, you know, just looking at the different sites and cataloging what folks have put out there, some of it is really focuses on self-promotion a tremendous amount. Other, I find, is kind of the opposite, but maybe equally disturbing. I find that a lot of it is just drivel, and it's just trivial stuff. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, put out a little trivial thing periodically. You know, Twitter was supposed to be designed for that. You know, nothing that important, just a tweet, that type of thing, right? So it was almost designed to do this. But I just find that there's some people that their entire life is nothing but dribble. It's there's nothing exciting. There's nothing serious. There's nothing that they're solemn about or that they're particularly interested in. It's all, you know, hey, I wore a brown sock today, one brown, one black sock. And I'm just thinking to myself, I don't care. I really don't care about this dribble. It does nothing for me. You don't need to tell me that you just took a breath or you just sneezed or whatever. You know, let's use this for God's glory. Let's get to something here. And so I just think that there is a way that we can look at this and really come up with some really good information. Let me ask you this, Lynn. As parents, it's often frightening to see, a girl in your family, your daughter, repeating some of the same behavior that you did. I think you said just a moment ago, I wish I had this information. They seem, you know, to be so needy sometimes. Why is it okay for them to be needy in order to come to you to ask you, you know, hey, you've gone through something like this. Is it okay for them to be needy in that sense?
Absolutely. Girls are needy, and that's okay. It really is okay to be needy. And the reason that they are is the same reason that we all are. And that's because we were created for attention, affirmation, and approval. The important thing is to help your girl see that she's needy and where she needs to go to get those needs met. And so, again, it comes back to us as parents and youth workers to pour the truth into them that Jesus is crazy about her. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says that he takes great delight in her. Verses like these will fill those needy places within her heart when she hears this truth.
So wanting affirmation is not wrong in and of itself. Being needy just shows that we are a dependent people, that we're not as independent as we think we are, autonomous as we think we are. So those things in and of themselves are not wrong. They just expose a hole in our heart, right?
Exactly, exactly. And by, you know, watching our own behavior, we can begin to see what we're turning to when we feel that need. You know, in your girl's life, when something goes bad at school, she doesn't make the musical, or she finds out she got cut from the track team, what is the first thing that she goes to? Does she hop on Facebook? Does she text a best friend? You know, does she run to her boyfriend for affirmation? And we can begin to teach them that their very first person that they run to is Jesus. I mean, he's the one who created them, so he's the one who's most well-equipped to fill that empty place that's in her heart.
I'm thinking of that quote that's attributed to Augustine. He said, Lord, you have made us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. We seem to go to all the broken cisterns of this world that just are not able to satisfy, and we need to continue to point girls towards the only one that can truly satisfy the deepest needs of their soul. Is that the bottom line message of the book?
It sure is. And I think that, you know, if you start spending time with a girl, you just can't, you know, start hammering with scripture. Mm-hmm. First, you have to begin to show them affirmation and attention and approval yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they see that you care, then you have an open door to begin to you know, show them these truths. But first you have to start with you yourself caring for them.
You know, I hear a lot of parents, though, and people working with you say, I'd like to do that, but if I do that, I'm afraid that I am affirming their bad behavior. You know, I can't say, I really love you the way that you are, because they look at what they're doing and they're so discouraged and bewildered by what they're doing. Why are they so needy? They're looking at why are you this way? You know, that type of thing. What do you say to parents that say, well, if I do that, you know, I feel like I'm really putting my stamp of approval on her current activity?
Well, we're not talking about approving of her activity. We're talking about affirming who she is as a person. And each one of us, you know, has a personality, and we have those unique parts about ourselves. And those unique parts are either sanctified to look more like God, or they're unsanctified when, you know, we live out the way that we want to live them out. And so whatever that thing is in your daughter, you know, you can find areas. Does she demonstrate compassion towards somebody? Does she go out of her way, once in a while to pay attention to someone who's alone? You can find things that demonstrate a personality trait that you can affirm the personality trait and not necessarily the behavior that you're seeing in them.
What do you think of, we're running out of time, but I got a million more questions. What do you think about then the mothers that try to become too much like the daughter? Even in the midst of that disturbing behavior, they feel that if they get in there and do the behavior almost with them, and they, you know, participate in this type of thing, that somehow there'll be the daughter's BFF, and then they'll be able to talk to them. Is there a line you can cross here?
Absolutely. There's a time and a season to be our daughter's friend, and that certainly isn't when they're still at home. Statistics show that children want boundaries. They want to be led, and even though their words and their actions may say differently, you know, don't be snowed by that. They want to have boundaries because boundaries make them feel safe. Mm. And so as a parent, if you begin to cross those boundaries yourself, that really sends a lot of confusion to a child.
Mm. Well said. Lynn, unfortunately our time is gone, but I wanted to thank you very much for being with us on the program today. Thank you for your love and your interest in young girls and the work that you're doing. I'm going to give the websites here again, but thank you very much for your work and for talking to us about it on Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Lynn Cowell. Lynn is the author of the book that we were talking about today. The title of that book is called His Revolutionary Love, Jesus' Radical Pursuit of You. It's just been released. You can go out to Lynn's website, and Lynn's website is www.lynncowell.com. That's www.lynncowell.com. And by the way, out there you'll find other free material out there for you as well. It'll give you information about how to contact Lynn. There's testimonies, there's videos out there that you can watch, her speaking schedule, all sorts of things that are really helpful to you. Remember this, the Lord Jesus, as we're talking about it today on the program, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. KCN.